Hour number two of the G.I. Jake Show starts now.
Hour number two of the G.I. Jake Show right here on Fan Run Radio. It is time for your sit rep, brought to you by our friends at Edward Half Golf. Up first, Tennessee will take on Queens University tonight at 6 o'clock as the baseballs look to not drop a midweek game. Get everything back on track. Close out these last eight. You can make it happen. It's very doable to win these last eight games. NBA playoff action last night. The New York Knicks took down the Indiana Pacers in a thriller in game one. That series, the Eastern Conference semifinals. Then, kind of a surprise to me because I expected a lot more out of Denver. But Minnesota absolutely shellacked Denver last night, 106-80. 106-80.
That was a beatdown. They couldn't do anything. They were suffocating, man.
To the defending NBA champions.
Lakers wore them out. You're welcome, T-Wolves.
Without Rudy Gobert, too.
Right.
Because that's their defensive anchor, the Timberwolves. And the fact that he didn't even play, and they probably played their best defensive game in franchise history. Like, there were so many turnovers
so
for
deep,
Jokic,
man.
Murray. They got size. They have Anthony Edwards, the next Michael Jordan for
that
you, Jake.
Yeah, so they're making Jokic look like human. Like I've never seen him struggle this much. Just Naz Reid's killing him down the paint, just dancing around him.
I mean, that was very surprising.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, I definitely was not expecting that.
It feels over. The series feels over, which is crazy to say. But, I mean, they just look so good.
Denver's got, man.
My friend Ethan is not happy with the way that Denver's playing. I can tell you that much. Big Denver Nuggets guy.
Yeah, well.
He got it last year, so.
Yeah.
He'll be okay.
And then tonight you've got the Cavs and the Celtics. That game will start at 7 o'clock on TNT, and then that will be followed by the Mavs and the Thunder, both in game one of their respective series.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really looking forward to this Mavericks-Thunder series. I don't know what it is about it, but I'm really looking forward to it.
Nice, yeah. It's a good matchup.
I mean,
it'd be fun.
I feel like Boston's
They might lose a game in that series, but
it'd be a gentleman's sweep, if anything.
I mean, Cavs struggled with Magic. I mean,
yeah.
Enough said right there.
I mean, that went all the way to game seven.
Yeah, you got to have more than just Donovan Mitchell. I mean, there's too many people for just Cavs to deal with. I mean, even Porzingis is out, you know, but still. I'll just put Horford in the lineup, and he's solid. I mean, just does everything well.
And then we got the water cooler. McDonald's is reportedly working on something big.
What is that?
A larger satiating burger.
Satiating? What the heck does that mean?
S-A-T-I-A-T-I-N-G. I'm from Campbell County. I think that's how you say it.
I don't know. What is it? What does that mean, though?
I don't know. They tried to bring back the Double Big Mac because their sales are either flat or down in all of their major markets. Their major markets, of course, being the United States, Australia, United Kingdom, Germany, Canada, and Japan.
Hmm. Does it have a picture of it?
No. There are no, like, nobody knows what it is.
Hmm.
All we know is it is a
larger. You going to give it a try?
I'm just not a fast food guy anymore, man.
Oh, okay. Well, that's breaking news.
Yeah, I've tried to do better.
There you go.
Try to do better. Got to get in shape.
Feel better.
Got to start feeling better. Got to start eating better.
That's good. I did see you with some fruit or something when I walked in. Is that watermelon you were eating?
I was eating strawberries, raspberries, and blackberries.
Look at that. Yeah. Nice.
Trying to do better, Brett.
Good job.
Low-carb tortillas for my tacos.
Your people at Crystal are going to be upset to hear this news.
Well.
You gave them a lot of business.
They might go out of business, yeah.
Yeah.
I might have been the one that pulled them out of bankruptcy. Who knows?
Yeah, kept them afloat.
It's hard to eat there now, man.
It's always been hard to eat there. I know it's good, but.
It's good, but I mean, it's hard to pay those prices now.
Seen many of pictures of you in the drive through at 8 in the morning at Crystal. So
we were on a first-name basis.
Yeah.
And I mean, it is what it is. That is your sit rep brought to you by Inward Half Golf. Enjoy the walk-in with Inward Half at inwardhalf.com. All right. So we talked a little bit about college football. Actually, we talked a lot about college football. We basically spent the entire hour, in hour number one, talking about a preview and then basically a 20-year in review of Tennessee football.
Yeah.
Up to that point.
Well, we didn't really talk about just the ranking for Tennessee, about where you thought, I guess.
I mean, number 16 in that way too early poll. I mean, I feel like that's pretty accurate because we didn't do enough last year to justify, oh, well, this team's going to be a top 10 team.
Right.
Yeah, we played very well in the bowl game, but we've learned that even if you're playing in a major bowl game, you take that with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
I think, Brett, you and I are both the biggest, not beneficiaries, but what am I looking for here? Basically, we thought that Joe Milton was him coming out of that Orange Bowl. And we thought that he was going to do the same thing this past year that he did in the Orange Bowl.
And that's why I'm kind of hesitant going into this season. I mean, I think Nico's obviously going to be better than Joe. I just don't know how much better.
And
are we talking Hendon level? Or, I mean, even if you get somewhere in, I mean, there's a big gap between Joe and Hendon, let's be honest.
Is.
So, I mean, where do I think Nico's going to fall in that? I mean,
as far as a talent perspective,
I would think we'd have a top 10 offense, though, right?
You would think. I mean, from a talent perspective, part of me wants to say that he's going to be a little bit better than Josh Dobbs.
Mm-hmm.
Because Josh Dobbs had talent. He just had no coaching.
Oh, Josh Dobbs was one of the most talented quarterbacks to come through here. There's no doubt about that.
He was definitely the most entertaining. I mean, Tyler Bray could sling it. Tyler Bray also wasn't mobile. Josh Dobbs had...
I mean, he's the most mobile quarterback we've ever had here. Him and Heath. I think.
Condridge, you got to throw him in there.
I mean, I didn't see Condridge play. I mean, right. I can go by, you know... talking to my dad or whatever. I mean, he's obviously a great athlete, so I'm sure he could run. Back in that day, you weren't throwing the ball very much.
Right.
You were giving it to your quarterback, and you're running it.
Here's your what if. What if Brent Schaefer had panned out?
Man, he was tiny, wasn't he?
Dude, he could run.
Yeah.
Dude.
Well, he was basically a wide receiver playing back there.
Yeah, I mean, we had already moved. So, at one point, we had...
Was he a baseball player? Was he good at baseball or something? Or I forgot why he left.
Schaefer?
He get in trouble? Is that why he left?
Schaefer got in trouble.
Yeah.
Transferred to Ole Miss. Mm. But this dude, like, everyone's like, okay, he's wearing number 7, and it was weird. Like, their first game when he was a freshman, you know, he had started over Ainge.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the Condridge throwback.
Yeah.
And you had people already making comparisons to Condridge Holloway. And there was one run, it actually did look like an old clip of Condridge Holloway.
Yeah.
In which he got the touchdown against UNLV.
Right.
Now, if you could do that throwback again, I would love
it. With the orange.
With the yoke.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just do that. Like, I'm to the point now, if we're going to do something special with the uniforms, don't try to go crazy with it. Give me a throwback.
I agree. I mean, I prefer a throwback over, like, a smoky gray.
And, I mean, a throwback for me can even be just the block numbers, and I would be happy.
Yeah.
I'd be very happy with that, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that might make me happy when it comes to our uniforms
right.
from here on out.
Yeah.
At least the basketball team gets it. At least the basketball team uses that traditional block font, and it looks really good.
Right.
Looks like those early 90s uniforms. I think those look spectacular. The cream jersey looks good. Change the numbers.
Right.
That's all I ask.
Yeah.
And I think it's more so the 7 and the 4 that just throw me off with those. The 7 and the 4 are really the only two digits that just do not look good
right.
in that font. Now, most of the others you can't really tell. You can tell a difference in the 1, but it's not too terrible. But
yeah,
the 4 and the 7 look awful.
Yeah.
Those look bad. But 16. I think that's fair.
Yeah, it's borderline, you know, top 12, obviously, what you're looking for to get to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
there's going to be teams that rise. There's going to be teams that drop. That's just how
college
football
works. There's no, like, you know, they don't have like a Liberty or some of those teams that'll surprise, that'll get up in the top 12, you know, and that will sneak up. I'm surprised maybe Liberty's not in there with able to hold on to Chadwell and Caden Salter's back. You know, they won, what, they win 11 games last year?
They won 11 games.
And they got smoked in the bowl game. Maybe that's why they're.
Probably.
You know, like, oh, guys, these guys can't compete at that level yet, you know.
Right.
And probably won't ever be able to, but.
They probably won't, but at the same time, you have to take into consideration, it's like, there's going to be one group of five team that makes.
Who did they play in their bowl game? Got smashed, do you remember?
I think, wasn't it Oregon?
It might have been Oregon, yeah. Oregon was out to send a message. But, yeah.
I can't believe USC being above us. That's just, why? They just
really
lost their QB. They were terrible last year with him.
They had the worst defense in the country. They're going to a harder conference.
Yeah. That's unbelievable.
They might go 6-6.
I mean, I think their over-under was like 6.5 wins.
Yeah.
I mean, you're top 15. You're talking, you had to be right around 10 wins, you know, to be even top 15 probably this
year. That's almost as bad as us going into the 2005 season, being ranked number 2 in the country, and then finishing 5-6.
Yeah, man,
that was. Talking about Joel Klatt. Talking crazy.
He's just
a
homer, man. He's probably, he's boys with Lincoln Riley are going to be in the Big Ten, so he thinks they're going to be something.
Honestly,
they're
not.
That's the thing, is they're not going to be anything. They're garbage.
I'm shocked he didn't put Colorado in.
No joke. Like,
Deion couldn't talk his way into that one.
No.
I got Shadur. I got Shiloh on the back end. I got Travis Hunter. No respect. Why don't you tweet about it, Deion?
I mean, the thing with that, Shadur Sanders is the number one ranked NIL evaluated prospect in the country. Travis Hunter is number 2.
But you got to have more than 2 players that are good.
I'm just saying, like, those are the top 2 in NIL valuation in the country. Because number 3 is Arch Manning. And then number 4 is Quinn Ewers. Nico's like number 9 on that list.
Shadur's got the 18th ranked odds for the Heisman. He's plus
30. Because he ain't going to win it.
Plus 3,500.
He's not going to win it. Colorado is not going to be good. They can whine and scream and yell all they want, but if Colorado makes the college football playoff this year, then hell's freezing over.
I don't think we're going to get there, but.
No.
What did you say they'd go? Like 2-10?
Like 3-9.
I said 3-9.
I think I said 4-8.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Rusty said 4-8.
Yeah.
I hope.
I don't see them doing any better than what they did last year. Matter of fact, they might even be worse.
I don't know. They're gonna have an easier schedule, won't they? I mean, granted,
they're in that.
Of course,
12.
we did say they're going 4-8. So I mean, it can't be. But they got so many toss up games. You just don't know how good these teams are. Like again, we don't know. There's so much unknown. That's why I'm like, I lean towards if you got a good returning quarterback, you're gonna win football games. No, there's gonna be a quarterback that sneaks up on us. That like Jackson Arnold, Nico. We don't know anything about really yet. You know, we haven't seen enough of them. No, they're uber talented, but
USC on their schedule right now has 5 teams that are currently in Joel Klatt's top 25.
Yeah, and that's 5 losses.
What?
LSU, Michigan.
See, LSU's Penn another State. One. I don't know. I don't like Nussmeier. How good is that guy? Like, I don't know. Like, I know he came in the SEC championship a game, I think, for Daniels and lit it up, but the game was over, so it was just garbage time yards.
Yeah,
really.
It didn't matter at that point.
Yeah.
They got LSU, Michigan, Penn State, Nebraska, and Notre Dame.
Yeah, I mean,
how?
Wisconsin's not going to be bad either, I don't think.
I mean, they're going to be a tough game. Like, they may not, they're going to battle you. They're going to be pretty well coached. They're going to be physical, you know, all those things.
They have to go to Michigan.
Who?
USC.
Mm.
They have to go to Michigan.
Wonder if it's going to be cold.
Oof.
I mean, what has Lincoln Riley even done?
I mean, he's made the playoff a couple times, right? And he obviously knows how to coach the quarterbacks. You know, he's gotten. What, 2 Heisman winners in the last, like, 5 years?
See, I forgot this. 3. I forgot how bad they fell apart at the end of last year. Like, they lost 5 of their last 6.
I mean, they were scoring 45 a game, but they were giving up 50. There was the one game they were up 29-0 at half and lost.
Last year was his worst year by far.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably won 10, 11 games for, like, how
he
many years in a row?
He barely beat Colorado. He barely beat Arizona. Like, their first 4 games, it's like, okay, yeah, they
so
won those.
So is he an overrated coach? Is that what we're saying?
Yes,
overrated.
But, I mean, he's made playoffs, and he's won 10, 11 games. How is that overrated?
But he did it at Oklahoma when Texas was down, and there wasn't really much competition.
But he was making the college football plays. He's losing to the Bamas and whoever's of the world.
Well,
like
the,
he was.
He can never beat them, though.
Or to go to the Rose Bowl, you know? Like, I don't know. Is he – because he's not underrated, right? Is he just I mean, he's a top 5 coach.
Overrated. He's had the talent, and he hadn't done enough.
I mean, I
think
I saw a top 25 coaches ring, and he's like 8.
Well,
you know?
And I have my own theory about Lincoln Riley. I feel like he's the Jimbo Fisher for Oklahoma.
But he's got a title, right? Jimbo?
Jimbo's got a title, yes. But the reason I say that is when you look at what Jimbo Fisher did at Florida State, he took him to the mountaintop with a team that Bobby Bowden had assembled.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
He had pieces left over from that, and he took that team to the mountaintop. And then once he got to the mountaintop, He progressively started getting worse year by year. It started getting worse year after year, and to the point where he realized he had utilized all of his resources, all of his talent, and he went and took another job while he could still jump ship.
Do you think he should have just stayed at Oklahoma, Lincoln Riley?
Possibly. But, I mean, I think he kind of did the same thing.
He seemed like an L.A. guy. He didn't seem like a Norman, Oklahoma guy.
No, you know, by no means. But, I mean, you think about what he did at Oklahoma. His last year
crazy.
There. His last year there was his worst year there.
And I think they go? Like 9-3? 10-2?
Yeah. But, I mean, you look at that, and he had utilized all of his resources, all of his talent. He knew that he wasn't going to get it done there, especially with the jump to the SEC coming. And he jumped ship while he still could.
I mean, the only thing he's missing is a you know, national championship. That's the only thing off his resume. He's coached Heisman winners. He's coached great teams. I mean, but he's run against, like I said, Alabama or who else for some other like Clemson. I don't know who all he played in these playoffs.
Georgia.
Yeah, Georgia. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know.
We are being harsh, but the fact, I just don't understand why they're top 15.
Going into this season, I agree. Yeah. I mean, I know they won their bowl game, but I don't know who they play. I can't remember. I know their quarterback threw for 6 touchdowns or something in the bowl game. So everybody's – and they're just USC. I mean, it's like Notre Dame. Notre Dame's always a fringe top 10 team every single year. It doesn't matter.
Right.
They're trying their luck. And Notre Dame, again, I think's kind of overrated on the rankings. Joel Klatt is just a – like everybody is, a Notre Dame homer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're going to try their luck with another Duke quarterback this year.
Yeah.
You know, we took their tight end. Thank you. You know, like, you know, I don't ever know any, like, they're just a solid. I mean, they're just solid, I mean, but they don't win a big game anymore, you know. So I'd love to go to play at South Bend again sometime, do like home and home with them.
I would really love to see that series again. I'm going to pose 2 questions to you in the next segment to you guys. During the break, that way you can prepare yourself somewhat.
Thank you. But normally, you're good about putting us on the spot.
I do a really good job of that, actually.
Yeah.
And you all usually give me pretty good answers.
Oh, thank you.
And I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Stay with us. The G.I. Jake Show marches on right here on Fan Run Radio. Here on the G.I. Jake Show. If you haven't already, pick up some White Claw Hard Seltzer. Must be 21 and older. Please drink responsibly. 2 questions I want to pose to you guys. We're going to go one by one here. Who is the most overrated coach in college football right now? And who is the most overrated in history? Because right now, I know we talked a lot about Lincoln Riley in the last segment, but you almost have to throw Lane Kiffin in that conversation as well.
As being
overrated.
See, he's way more overrated than like Lincoln Riley. I don't think Lincoln Riley. I don't know if you guys never really said. I mean, I thought he was rated just fine.
At least he's made it to a playoff yet. Kiffin has nothing to even show for himself.
Yeah.
I mean,
except some bowl games.
Well, the thing is, it's like
Lane bounced around job after job. Like,
yeah.
You know, like he's. I don't know. He's definitely overrated, especially when it comes to the big games. I mean, he's notorious for winning, you know, 9-10 ball games, but who have you beaten for me?
Nobody.
You know, like.
You haven't beaten anybody. Who you beat?
Yeah.
You ain't beat nobody.
The other one that I always think of is just Mark Stoops. I mean, the way people talk about him and put him, like, top 5, top 6 in this conference. Again, another guy that we absolutely own, most of the good teams own. For some reason, he can beat Florida, you know, it seems like, when we can't. You know, like whether they go down there and win in the Swamp or they come up there to Lexington, he always wins those games. But I feel like, especially the last few years, like, you know, I feel like that he's been overrated. I mean, you know, just ones in conference that I can think of. I mean, I don't know. I mean, do you consider, I mean, Brian Kelly made a national championship. I mean, do you consider him kind of overrated?
Yes. I was definitely thinking of him, yeah.
You definitely have to put him in that mix.
Mm-hmm.
Because when he would make it to the college football playoff or he would make it to those national championship games, what happened?
Right.
I don't think he had one that was within 3 touchdowns.
One he went with Notre Dame, Bama just blew the doors off.
I think they lost that game. Like, I'm not kidding.
It was like 50-something nothing or like 3, you know. Like,
yeah, like it was a mauling. And then when they made it back to the college football playoff, they got mauled again.
And then he's not – off to a great start. I mean, they had a decent season last year with LSU, but again, I mean, He did coach a Heisman winner, you know, but that's just a talented man, you know, if anything. I mean, he single-handedly won football games for them.
So let's take a look at Lane Kiffin. So, of course, his 1 year here at Tennessee, he went 7-6. Mm-hmm. Before that, when he was in the NFL, it was not good in Oakland. Was not good. Al Davis tried to warn
Did he get fired from there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
He got fired.
So he was
mid-season.
A free agent, and then we picked him up?
Yeah.
Basically, yeah.
So when he got to USC, his first year, he went 8-5. That was the first year they were on probation. The second year, in 2011, like they were actually ranked like number one in the country to start the year, even though they could not go to a bowl game and they could not go to the Pac-12 title game. Goes 10-2. Next year, goes 7-6. They finally are able to go back to a bowl game. They go to the Sun Bowl, and they lost. The next year, after his fifth game, after starting out the year 3-2, they fired him. Everybody did. It was Ron.
Yeah.
Then I'm head coach. So then he goes and does coaching rehabilitation, i.e. he goes to Alabama, takes the job at FAU, goes 11-3, 5-7, 10-3. Goes to Ole Miss. COVID year, he goes 5-5. The year after that, the mustard year, goes 10-3 with Matt Corral. 2022, they go 8-5. And last year, they go 11-2. If the trend's right, they might go 7-5. But I don't think they will.
No, they're going to have a similar season as they did last year.
But, I mean, he's another guy. Like, everyone, like, every time that we've had a head coaching search.
Yeah, his
probably
name,
since
his name
we fired
comes
Butch,
up.
Ever since we fired Butch Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Even before then, I was one of these guys. I was going around saying, I want my guy back.
Right.
I want Lane Kiffin back. And now that I look back on that, I'm just like, well, what has he done?
Right.
What has he done that has warranted all the love and all the publicity that he's got? He's funny on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Cool. Good for him.
But
then you look at Lincoln Riley.
Now, his coaching pedigree or records are just absurd.
12-2. 12-2. 12-2. Man. 9-2.
And they were
10
always,
and 2.
Yeah.
11-3. And then 8-5.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty good.
It's pretty good. But.
You're always having one loss. I mean, going into the playoff, just can't get over that hump.
But he's never really.
I'm not sure he's even won the semifinal, though.
He's
like,
not.
It seems like he's always lost the semi when he's gotten there.
Yeah. I mean, he's.
Hadn't been to a chip.
Yeah.
No. Never been there.
Speaking of Chip, Chip Kelly's pretty overrated.
Yeah.
I think Ryan Day at Ohio State's overrated.
Ryan Day and Lincoln Riley are in the same category.
No.
Ryan Day's worse.
Oh, yeah. Ryan Day is way more overrated. I mean, he's lost three straight. He's lucky he still has a job. I thought he was going to lose it this offseason, personally.
Well, that's the
He's thing. Lucky Harbaugh left.
Yeah.
But now they got these other good coaches coming in there. Now, USC's obviously not USC. When we first heard of all this news, we're like, oh, USC's going to Big Ten, but they're not very good. But
Jack, is that not the most daunting picture you've ever seen? What is that?
Oh, Lord. That's scary.
And then you had the incident at Notre Dame where he sent a guy up on a scaffold when the wind was blowing 40 miles an hour.
Oh, is that Brian Kelly?
Yeah. I mean, you look at his record, and here's another one. Like, this has sort of a Tennessee tie to it. Because Butch Jones took over for Brian Kelly at his last two stops before he got to Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Central Michigan and Cincinnati. Butch Jones followed him, like basically, what am I trying to say here? It's like followed in his footsteps, essentially. Rode his coattails.
Yeah, and we thought that for the longest time about Kirby when he took over for Mark Richt. Oh, he just took over, you know, very good, you know, college team. You know, Mark Richt was winning 9-10 ball games. Kirby comes in there and kind of just put it to the next level.
Well, Kirby took it to the mountaintop.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's one thing to win one national championship. Yeah. I mean, it was 4 years removed from Mark Richt.
I mean, it's just nuts what he's doing.
And he won two.
Yeah.
Like, keep that in mind. He won two. I mean, Brian Kelly, you look at what he did.
You know who would have been number one if he's still around was Jimbo. He's probably one of those. When you go to history, you know, he might be one of those history guys that.
Well, like I said, you know, he took over a great program at Florida State.
Bobby Bowden, yeah.
Took it to the mountaintop, and then.
I mean, what about Sarkisian at Texas? Do you feel like he's overrated, or do you not? He needs more time.
I think he's had a good bounce back
because he was at USC. Obviously, had his struggles with some stuff, and
yeah,
I think he's turning Texas around.
He's had a good bounce back,
but we'll see how they. I mean, they're going to a big boy conference now, so we'll see. Who else is out there that we're not thinking of?
Mike Gundy.
Yeah,
he's just consistently. above average, but never like going over the top. Like they finished third in 2011.
Well, let me ask you this: who's the most underrated?
Like right now?
Yeah.
I mean, you'd have to look at some of those guys that are like, I mean, like a Jamie Chadwell, like somebody at a small school that hasn't gotten a chance to, you can't get rated yet, right? Because you've been dominating at Liberty.
True.
Like if he'd come to I really thought he was going to get like the Mississippi State job when it was open. You know, underrated coach.
I've been talking about this dude pretty much all year.
Okay.
I'm terrified of Brent Venables.
You think he's underrated?
I do.
Wow.
I think.
Add him to the list, Jack.
I think they might make some noise.
Didn't we want him when we had an opening too?
Yes,
like
for sure.
We wanted.
Oh, dude, we wanted him. We wanted Will Muschamp.
Yeah, we wanted, and that's when we went with Pruitt, right?
No, that would have been the Dooley search, like
Venables,
or before the Dooley. No, that would have been for Will Muschamp. The Venables search would have been when we landed on Pruitt.
Okay, yeah,
but
and he wasn't leaving. He got re-upped and.
Oh, yeah.
Again, like it's the same thing that happened with Gundy. We wanted Gundy for like two or three coaching searches, and they just re-up him.
I mean,
he should thank us.
Like, we are responsible for Mike Gundy getting at least three raises.
Yeah.
The only
thing he's good with now is press conferences, but
that's pretty much it.
That's all he's known for now.
But I'm going to give you a name of who I think might be the most underrated coach in college football.
In the
right
conference?
Now. No, just period.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Mike Norvell.
Yeah. I mean, he had a good run at Memphis, and obviously had a – I mean, I think if he doesn't lose Jordan Travis, they might have an argument to play for – they might have been in the national championship game.
They might have been. Like, that's the thing. Like, we don't know at this point.
Right.
Because you lose Travis, you don't get to play in the game. And I feel like they got robbed.
What is DeBoer rated in your mind? Is he underrated? I mean, how do we rate him? I mean, obviously they rate him high as the top five coach in America right now.
I would say he's probably properly rated.
Okay.
I'd say he's properly rated.
But don't have much to go off with him, I feel like.
He's just won everywhere he's been, and he got to the college football playoff last year.
Yeah.
National championship. So, I don't know. We'll be able to rate him a lot more here in the next couple of years.
But if I told you that in their past 8 years of coaching, two stops, you go 8-5, 10-3, 8-6, 12-1. COVID year, you go 3-6, 5-7, 10-3, 13-1. Total record is 69-32. Would you say that's a good coach?
Well, I mean, going into the season, he was on the hot seat, right? Like, they wanted him because there was Deion talk, you know? Like, Deion might want to get in that job, you know, if he struggled again. But I don't know where I rate him. I really don't.
That would have been – after the 2021 season when they lost Travis Hunter.
Did Alabama talk to him?
No.
During when Saban left? I thought he might have been one of the guys that turned him down and got an extension.
He might have.
Because we were worried about – we had our names that we were worried about, you know, as far as getting – for Alabama to get as a coach, and I think he might have been one of the names we mentioned.
Well, Mike Norvell, I mean, he's going to do good things at Florida State.
Right.
And I think we can all agree on that. Mike Norvell is going to do good things at Florida State.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Josh Heupel is going to do good things at Tennessee. Mark Stoops at Kentucky, he's been doing about his all.
But Norvell struggled when he lost Jordan Travis. They were scraping by on some of those games.
They were, but they went 13-0 in the regular season.
Yeah, but they were
winning
ugly.
And won a conference championship.
Yeah. No, I mean, 13-1's 13-1. I mean, it's what you do the next year, you know. Like, what is he going to do this year? You know, that's the question. Can you sustain, you know, the winning ways down there?
If he does, I mean, you really have to put him in that category of probably one of the more underrated coaches in college football.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree.
See, and I don't have anything against Mike Norvell. I don't really have anything against Florida State. I don't have anything.
Is Dan Lanning underrated?
That one is interesting.
I mean, we know he's a great coordinator and stuff, and he's put together two good seasons, I guess. He's been there for two seasons, right, Oregon? Because he's been there as long as Cristobal's been it.
Well, and he shot up the ladder, like, I feel like, really quick. Like, I feel like he wasn't, you know,
I mean, he turned Bo Nix around. Bo Nix was garbage at Auburn.
Yeah.
And to do what he's done with Bo Nix and put up the numbers that he did, you know, so.
So, I mean, just to give you a little bit of background on Dan Lanning. He is a special teams coach at a high school. Then he was a GA at Pitt, a GA at Arizona State. What the heck is an RC?
Recruiting coordinator, maybe?
Yes, recruiting coordinator is probably what it is. He was that at Arizona State and Sam Houston State, a GA at Alabama, inside linebacker coach, recruiting coordinator at Memphis, linebacker coach and DC at Georgia from 2019 to 2021, and then became a head coach. Like, the dude's only 38 years old. He shot up the ladder really quick. I think the youngest ever hired, if I'm not mistaken, it was Lane Kiffin at the time when he took the job at Tennessee.
Right.
Like, he was only 34 years old. Like, think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's about 4 years removed from me.
Yeah, that's...
Could you imagine that kind of responsibility?
Whew, no.
And at my age, he would have been an offensive coordinator at USC. That is nuts.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
I don't know. He might have been one of these guys that just...
That's like Spoelstra at Miami.
Yeah.
I mean, Spoelstra was like in high school and he's running video for the Heat, you know, it seemed like.
Oh, and he's been with that organization ever since.
Yeah, I know. He's great.
Never left.
So, yeah.
Never left.
No, he's... Dan Lane's a good one for underrated. I mean, obviously Norvell. I'm just trying to think... Anybody else out there that would be, like, overrated or underrated? I mean, we mentioned Ryan Day. I mean, we'll see. I mean, what about the guy that was at Iowa? Like, is he overrated, Ferentz? I don't know. I'm just trying to think of, like, just teams that win, like, 9-10 games.
Frank Beamer.
Mm, yeah. I mean, he won a title, though, right, with Vic? Am I wrong? Or did they lose to Florida State?
I'm pretty sure they lost to Florida State.
Okay.
What about James Franklin?
Ooh, that's a good one.
That's a good one.
Because he was, I'd say he's overrated personally. I mean, you got to win something for me.
He's really never done anything.
Well, he was underrated Vandy, and he got them. With Jay Cutler and stuff, like they were beating us, not saying it much, but he was winning 7-8 games with Vandy. That's impressive. That's a good football coach. And that's how he got to job, right?
Hold that thought. We're going to talk about that in the final segment. Stay with us. Final segment of the program coming up right here on Fan Run Radio. Final segment of the program. It's the G.I. Jake Show here on Fan Run Radio. Brett, you had actually posed a really good one for the most overrated coach in college football.
That was Jack. Jack mentioned Franklin.
You had a really good explanation as well. He had the idea.
Yeah.
Either way, I want to go through this because this is this one stands out quite a bit. Because this was a guy that Danny White had actually flown to see twice before we hired Josh Heupel.
Really?
Yeah. He'd flown to see him twice.
Wow, didn't know that.
James Franklin from Penn State, formerly of Vanderbilt. He's 3 years at Vanderbilt from 2011 to 2013. He goes 6-7, 9-4, 9-4, three straight bowl games, two finishes in the top 25, probably better than anything in that school's history, come to think of it. They've not really done much since.
No. I mean, like I said, I'd love to know his record versus the Michigans and the Ohio States of the world. I can't remember one of the times I'm sure they've beaten him. I mean, he's been there long enough. But, yeah, that was definitely a good pull. That's probably one of the most overrated coaches definitely right now.
I think he's actually, like, combined, like, 4-18 against those two teams.
Yeah, because what's his overall record at Penn State? Do you have that?
88-39.
Whoa. 88-39 and probably 18-20 of those losses are against the two teams?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's, like perennial top 15 team every year. It's just they can't get over that last hump.
So since he's been there, since he's been there, they went to a bowl game every year except for the COVID year in which they declined a bowl game. They went 7-6, 7-6, 11-3, 11-2, 9-4, 11-2, 4-5, 7-6, 11-2, 10-3, and that's it. He's won 12-54 overall. The difference between him and Mike Norvell,
mm-hmm.
because everyone's going to say, well, yeah, that's similar win percentage to Mike Norvell.
Right.
Why is one overrated, one underrated?
Right.
Well, the fact of the matter is one should have had a college football playoff on his resume. He lost his quarterback.
And there was debate whether he should have made it still.
Yeah.
I remember it was almost it seemed like a month-long conversation or however long, you know, it was.
Yeah, one has
it turns out probably a good thing, but
one has an undefeated regular season.
Yeah.
And one had to basically rebuild a program.
Well, they both came from one came from Memphis, one came from Vandy. I mean, they're not football schools by any stretch, and they were pretty successful at those stops.
And I mean, we all know what happened at Penn State. And we all know what happened at Penn State, but people still knew the name Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
People were still going to go to Penn State.
Oh,
especially after all those sanctions got lifted.
Great football school.
Yes.
A lot of tradition up there.
Absolutely. And, I mean, you got kids that are out of that area that were going to go to that school regardless.
That's one I'd like to do a home and home with, personally.
Penn State?
I think, now that we've talked about them. Going up there on a whiteout night, just beating them, make them cry.
That'd be fun. Make them cry.
Yeah.
I like it. Make them cry.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we're doing the home and home with Washington.
Yeah, I wonder if that'll stick. I mean, you would think. If that's not until like 29:30, I think, right?
Yeah, it's gonna be a while. That's going to be a while for that one.
Yeah.
But you look at James Franklin, dude. He might be one of the more overrated coaches because he gets a lot of attention anytime a big job comes up.
I mean, what's a step up for him though? Like, besides going to your SEC school, maybe, like, I just don't. There's not many steps up from Penn State football. I mean, that's a big time. That's a top 10 program for sure, right?
I don't think he needs to leave. I think, yeah, they just.
I mean, you stay right
with
where
the 12 team playoff. You got to make it this year. Not playing Michigan, only playing Ohio State.
You have to
make it this
year. Well, and I mean, you look at our future opponents. You know, we were going to talk about who we wanted a home and home with. Who would you say you want one with?
Well, I mean, I mentioned Penn State. I'd love Notre Dame again. I love growing up watching those rivalries. You know, there's much history with those two teams.
I think we played them three times in the 90s, three times in the 2000s. UCLA is another one that we used to play quite a bit.
Yeah, UCLA was one, yeah. Yeah, I remember that. That was – I don't know how recent that was, though.
08, 09.
Yeah.
I'd like to play Georgia State again.
No.
Do a home-and-home with them, down to Georgia State.
Just win one, maybe?
Now, there's also – you got to look at the factor of this, and considering they're a former SEC school, is Georgia Tech.
I wouldn't want – I don't know if I'd want to
Their stadium is named after our quarterback.
Yeah, but I don't know if I'd – they don't attract me very much to want to do that again or play them. I don't know.
And we go down there, let them know how bad varsity sucks and make our happy asses drive back up to Knoxville.
Yeah.
Maybe a Syracuse one. Get some orange on orange.
Well, luckily for you, Jack, you're getting that next year.
But it's not a home and home, is it?
No, it's just in Atlanta.
Oh.
And then we're doing a home and home with Nebraska.
That's an interesting one.
Then we're playing throwback. West Virginia once again in Charlotte.
Oh, gosh.
That one sucked.
Yeah.
First play of the game, we fumble.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to eventually get your Texases. Like, Texas would have been a fun one to do if they weren't coming to the conference. Like, a home and home with them, who's the real UT. You know, obviously, Heupel's getting Oklahoma. You know, we'll get them the next 2 years, I guess, home and home, because I think they just flipped the schedules next year.
Does it bother you that
– what about, like, Michigan or something like that?
Eh, doesn't really do anything for me.
Really?
I don't care to see the Big House.
You don't?
No.
Man, I thought that'd been a good one.
No, not really.
Go back to Oregon? Play Oregon again?
I don't want to see that stadium again.
That's when they were rolling when we played them, right?
Yeah. Like, the team that we played here – in 2010, that was the team that went to the national championship game that year.
Would you do a USC?
Right now, yes.
Right now.
Right now, I definitely want a series with USC. And there were talks about that happening, you know, before Lane Kiffin made his departure, but they were like, we don't know if we want to do that.
So would you rather do a home and home or continue with these neutral site things? Like, would you rather be going to Raleigh than going to Charlotte and then they come down here next year?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan of home and home series because I feel like it benefits each local economy better than what it does, you know, going to some of these neutral site games in which you're only playing one. Now, granted, you're losing that revenue for the next year, which you were going to lose it regardless if it were a neutral site game. But, like, if you know we were to go to Raleigh and then they were to come to Knoxville, both local economies would benefit better by doing that than it would be a neutral site game in Charlotte. Because those businesses around there are going to make money regardless.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing that some people, you know, tend to forget is, like, if you do a neutral site game in Atlanta, the restaurants in Atlanta, the attractions in Atlanta, they're all going to be fine. They're going to make money regardless.
Well, I think, like John and Bob were talking about, like if we'd rather than doing the Battle of Bristol, like go to Blacksburg.
Yeah.
Like in 16, you know, I think it was whenever. But, I mean, but again, you got the iconic game, like the Battle of Bristol, you know, the famous Speedway.
And the majority of people that I've talked to that went to that game, they said they would not go back if we were to do it again.
Really?
Because, I mean, it was just so hard to see. I mean, I know how it is at a NASCAR race, like trying to.
Well, it's fine for the NASCAR race. That's easy track to watch.
Well, it's fine because they're big old cars.
Yeah.
You're out
there. You're on top of the track, too.
You're looking for tiny little humans.
Yeah. Who made that tackle?
We don't know. Some guy wearing an orange jersey.
Yeah, they should have just gave away a pair of binoculars for that game as you walk in.
No joke. No joke. That would have been a great idea, Brett.
Here's your Fisher-Price binoculars to help feed the 100 and how many people were at that game. I don't remember.
As far as home and home, I mean, I like the USC. Yeah, I'd love to see, like you said, the Notre Dame or the UCLA series come back. Jack, I like yours with Syracuse.
I want Rutgers.
No. Bring Shiano down here. Mess him up. Yeah, there's not many we haven't really. You know, we get a lot of the teams you would want. I mean, I don't know if you'd want to do a Clemson or maybe a Florida State.
North Carolina.
Would you do Florida State?
Ooh, Miami. Yeah, a little 90s rivalry.
Miami game again.
Yeah. Do North Carolina. You could do there's really not much to choose from. Come think of it. Oklahoma State might be fun.
Yeah. Gundy's always wanted to come here.
Take back our bonus.
Yeah.
I mean,
he should pay for our flights to get over there.
Well, and, you know, we've not even talked about this, the fact that, you know, we don't play for a trophy anymore.
What about basketball? Because basketball is different than football. Like, we've already been to Chapel Hill. They're coming here this year, I think. Mm-hmm. Is there, like, would you want to go to Cameron or, like, play
Duke? I would like to go to Cameron.
Like, I'm just trying to think of, like, other, like, even basketball schools that aren't the same as, like, basketball and football are, like, different. Like, we wouldn't want to go to – I wouldn't want to go to Duke to play football. Like,
no.
That doesn't do anything.
No,
or even North Carolina.
Well,
that doesn't
I would even want to go to UCLA. I would want to do that for basketball.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah. We've done Arizona.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I'm not – I don't know if I'd want to do football against them home and home football.
I mean, I don't know, dude.
Would you want to go beat Dion in Boulder?
Oh, I would absolutely love to do that. I would love it. Hey, NC State, if you want to cancel the game right now, just go ahead.
You'd rather head to Boulder?
Yes.
You'd rather head to Boulder than Charlotte?
I'd rather head to Boulder.
God, that'd be incredible. I would, too. Make it happen, Danny.
I would go get another
We
job.
Canceled BYU. Why can't we cancel NC State?
How about BYU?
BYU would have been fun.
Get our revenge. Golly, that game. I was at that game.
Well, and then we've had some weird ones, too. Like, Brett, you might remember this. Wyoming.
We didn't go up there, though, did we?
No, but we invited them back to play in Nashville.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't know if it was supposed to be a home and home or what happened.
Right.
I mean, there have been some weird ones in the past.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Washington State came here, but we didn't go to Washington State.
Why?
I want to go whoop Purdue and Purdue. I hate Purdue.
Golly, I hate
Purdue. I want to have Zach Edey out there and just, like, tackle him at his knees.
Could you
like,
imagine?
All – and Ryan Klein, put him out there, too. Put him at quarterback. Run the option. Nobody blocked
for him. Ain't O'Connell back out there as well?
Yeah.
I don't know if we want that right now.
No, he torched us.
Yeah.
So did Edey, though, but he's ugly. I don't know if he could fit in a helmet or a jersey.
I mean, it would be the largest helmet you could find, and then it would probably take like a 4 or a 5X jersey.
I just want like him to be back and field a punt and just like we get Al Wilson or somebody, you know, back in the past. It's just a hard-nosed hitter. Eric Berry, just let him just –
The thing is, you'd have to launch yourself into him, otherwise you're hitting him in the
you'd
stomach.
You'd have to boost him. To like, yeah. That was a clean hit.
That was a clean hit. There was no helmet-to-helmet on that play.
His neck,
I don't know what you're talking about.
His neck would be like, it's just so long, too. Like, can you imagine just helmet sitting there and then, I don't know. There's so many.
There's so many that, I mean, this is a conversation that can go on across multiple shows for multiple days. And we've played some weird opponents in the past, too.
Like, I'd go to Utah. Like, it was cool watching Florida play at Utah on ESPN, you know? Like, that was a cool, environment.
Get yeah. absolutely shellacked.
It cost us.
It did.
Golly.
Does that ever bother y'all?
What, watching Florida lose the week before us and then last year's game?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, definitely, because they looked horrible.
They were.
They were. They still were. Are. They turned terrible. Out to be terrible.
That was absolutely still probably the worst loss of last year was Florida. And it's not even close. That was by far and large the worst loss we had last year. Because they went 5-7.
Oh, we can't keep rehashing this. It's just going to make us.
The other three teams we lost to were top 10 teams.
Yeah.
They almost lost to South Carolina.
Yeah, you would have thought if, like, here and you lost to Missouri, you'd think, man, you had a. Even a worse season. Like, you had 7 losses.
Right.
Because Missouri turned out to be pretty dang good.
Yeah, but they almost beat them.
Who?
Florida.
Well, I know. That was, like, the week after us, wasn't it, or something?
No, Missouri was, like, their second to last game.
I mean, we all thought Tennessee would win that game at Missouri no matter what.
We did, because Missouri.
We had just come off beating Kentucky, I think, right?
Yeah, and, I mean, the thing is, Missouri's not even that good. They weren't that good. We made them look good. We made them look good.
Drinkowitz.
Staying on business, Jake. Oh, we're not going to play him again for how long?
I don't know. Don't care. Hope I never see him again.
Oh, man.
We'll see him in the SEC chip.
Yeah.
Golly. That is going to do it for us. The Herd with Colin Cowherd coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.